Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night, my love I bring to you.
All right. All right. Welcome. Welcome. My name is Yamsuf Arif. I, along with Cartrell of New York City, am here to join forces together with you so you can get a clear, concise, fundamental, comprehensive understanding of the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and how you can interact within the dimensions of your understanding, not leaning to your own understanding, but the understanding that the Most High is trying to project to you. It's all about relationships, people. If you don't get the first one right, of course, the relationship, the most important relationship you will ever have in your life, believe you me, it is quite true. Take the ex-fool's advice. It is quite true. The most precious relationship, blessed relationship, praise the mighty name, Yah relationship, that you will ever have in your life. And you get fresh benefits also by your understanding and your compliance. Not simply understanding, but complying. See, we have a problem of complying. It's one thing to understand something. It's a whole different matter to be in compliance. We have to learn how to comply. And as I said, every other relationship will be either tacky, trashy, and or terroristic. And I do mean that. I don't care if it's your wife, your husband, your friend, your neighbor, other Hebrew brothers and sisters, other people of other nations. Because if you don't get the first one right, it's gonna shape the other relationship. They're gonna be tainted. Believe you me, it's true. Take an ex-fool's advice. Take Yamsuf Ari's advice. And learn to apply and be in compliance with the Most High Word. Learn to understand the dimensions of this relationship. Have imperative and everything else is predicated upon it. And to apply it with one another. To apply it with strangers. Apply it with your family members and friends and so on and so forth. Believe you me, you will get the best out of those relationships once you get the first one right. But before Cartrell and I get started in our studies, I want to make one contemporary comment. You know, I like to make them on ongoing subject matters. And first, I'd like to say, may the Most High bless you and praise his holy name, his blessed holy name, his precious his holy name, and his loving mercy and tender kindness. So all thanksgiving for him in order for Cartrell and I to bring this show to your attention. But I want to say something in regards to contemporary subject matters. You know, they're talking about this Brian Laundry. Now, here's the funny thing. I kind of see things. See how universal white race supremacy is not good for anyone. Now, in making reference to him, they're saying he's missing. He ain't missing, he hide. Okay? You ain't missing when you hide. But now, take the little fellow that is shot at the school, the young brother, the 18-year-old. Oh, he was on the run. Well, if that young fellow was on the run, I suggest that Mr. Brian Laundry is on the run, too, in hiding. And they have questions about his mother and father's activities. Perhaps they had gave him some aiding in the bed. Believe you me, if he looked anything remotely like me, my mama and papa would have been locked up now on suspicion. Aiding and abetting. You see, universal white race supremacy doesn't help anyone. It don't even help them. They think they can have carte blanche to do whatever they want because they'll come up missing. They're not hiding. They always like to slate the conversation. See, universal white race supremacy is not good for us and it's certainly not good for them because it gives them ego run amok trips. I got a right to slap the little girl on the side of the highway and then make her look like a fool. Then I got a right several days later to choke the mess out of and kill him. I got a right to leave in the woods for 3 days before they find a body. I got a right to come back in town. I got a right to come up missing. My parents had a right to be privy to this information. No, universal right race supremacy is not good for us, and it's certainly not good for them. It's simply a case of ego run amok. It never should have been, because if the Most High was and we didn't drop the ball, that would have never been. Believe you me. My name is Yamsuf Arif, And my dear brother and friend from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you and your family, brother. Your mic is on. Shalom.
Bless y'all, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise and honor to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari.
May he bless you also and your family. Hallelujah to what you just said about the Most High. Praise his name.
No doubt. Every day. Give honor and praise.
Exactly.
Glory to our King, our Creator. The most important relationship, like you said, and complying with his word turns us into ex-fools. I like that.
Right.
Ex-fools.
Yeah, I'm an ex-fool.
Yeah.
I'm an ex-fool.
If we study in the word of Yah, we should all be ex-fools.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we comply.
Uh-huh.
If you comply. That's the thing. Because some fools want to remain fools all their life. And that's not the path we want to take. Now, our nation been foolish with Yah and not complying with his word, which is why we're in the conditions that we're in. So we're trying to figure out how to get out of it. But we know that Yah's pouring out his fury. I don't know if you've seen the fires in California, 26 square miles of fire. And this is the beginning of the fire season. And California's been burning all year, practically.
Not practically, because it hadn't written, never went out, country.
The fire never went out.
Right.
And it's like the peak of fire season.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts of the country getting 2 feet of snow. Another part getting floods. Tornadoes springing up. I mean, like, wow, y'all is pouring it all out at one time. But then you got the cargo ships, right? The manipulated.
Yeah. Right.
That's off the coast, on the west side and on the east side.
Right.
And my thing is that I think they're doing that intentionally. So they can raise the prices. You know, they call it supply and demand.
Exactly.
And they keep them the stock off the shelf so they can raise the prices because there's demand.
And I wouldn't put it past them.
They're keeping the ship off.
I wouldn't put it past them, Cartrell.
What's the holdup? That's my question.
Yeah, because
lack of drivers, lack of workers.
Okay. If that's the case, Cartrell, and you know you got 70 ships out there, why do you need the president to tell you to work around the clock? That don't even make sense to me. If I got ships stacked out, 70 ship cargo ships stacked, I don't need the president to tell me to do my job, unless that's part of the job. These people never cease to amaze me, Cartrell.
Oh, yeah, that's why we lean on the Most High, not on man, because they involve all kind of chicanery and trickery and foolishness. They'd rather see the people suffer just to get that money.
Exactly.
And, in the meantime, between time, the poor and the needy, fatherless and the widow, they're the ones that really suffer.
Exactly.
So we've seen a lot of suffering this year, worldwide and locally.
Exactly. What you got? What you got to say, Kadri, about Brian Laundrie missing?
Oh, he's missing, all right.
All right. Kadri, he's missing, all right.
Yeah, he's missing, all right. With all this forensic science they got hound dogs, they got cameras everywhere, and he's missing. What? An alien came and abducting him?
I tell you what, they would have been ahead, me and you.
Oh, yeah. No question
and
about
it. Too, for aiding and abetting. Believe it.
And they really treating him with kid gloves? Because, like you said, if it was me and you, it'd be an all-points bulletin, manhunt.
The first day.
First day.
Oh, yeah.
They probably would have arrested us when he slapped the girl upside the head the first time the cops stopped him.
He should have been arrested. But if it had been you and I, Cartrell, believe you me, I'd be in Moab, Utah's jail right now. Okay?
And because they didn't arrest him, she wound up dead.
Cold-blooded, bro. If they only did their job, Cartrell.
Yeah.
If they'd only did their job. Because if he had got that rest, there was no way they could be together. Because there's a stipulation that you can't be together until the case is resolved. So they just sent her back. So you need to go on back home. Well, how you going to get there? Don't you worry about that. You get on back on down the road. Don't even pick him up because you can't be around him. See, they'd have saved that girl's life if they did the right thing. If universal white race supremacy had to rear his head and exercise itself, that girl had been alive today. That's why I say universal white race supremacy ain't good for nobody, not even them. They think it is, but truth be told, it has never had because it was never meant to be. So something that's never meant to be ain't no good for nobody. Go ahead, Cartier.
To me, it shows me why white women have to fight so hard for their rights. Because my man should have been arrested when he came back alone without her. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Came up by himself. Like, where's the girl? What you do?
He should have been picked up on suspicion or something as a material witness. Man, they got all kind of reasons they pick you up on, okay? They could have picked that man up on as a material witness that same night. Because our folks had been calling. So it was inexcusable negligent on their part not to pick that fellow up for something as a material witness. They had it. They could have held him for 24, I think 72 hours or something like that. Enough time and then put him on house arrest so he couldn't skedaddle. That means to an end, okay? There's ways to make things work, okay? If they wanted to, but like I said, contrary fellow citizens. Universal right race supremacy. It ain't good for nothing, and it was never meant to be good for anything. It doesn't even work for them.
And within them, they have a certain kind of sickness because they seem to get a thrill out of killing their women. Whatever problem you have with that girl, you should have just drove her home and left her at home.
That's what I would have done
with our parents.
Unless my woman came out of that truck with an AK-47 and a butcher knife and an axe, she was going back home. Yeah. Now, she came out there, run out there, help holler, Yamsu, and clocking that Glock or that AK-47 or that butcher knife and axe. Well, she was going home. You know.
I don't think they would, that kind of drama, bro.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't like that kind of drama, too. I don't do violence very well. That's why I call myself an expert. Because at once upon a time, I relished it. It was part of the tube. I got at the tube box first and foremost. Now I learned to not even look for it in the tube box. And if I got to use it, it's the last tool in the tube box. It's a matter of self-defense and so on and so forth. So speaking, and one thing, one of my tools in that tube, you never put your hand on a woman under no circumstances. Not unless you do.
Yeah, I don't know what you do.
Yeah. I mean, come on, bro.
Been enough
come on, bro. She can cry. She can shake her head. She can point her finger. You ain't got to be right. She said, I'm leaving you. But you ain't got no right to be killing nobody. Come on, Cartrell. I mean, just cause you love her, you don't own her. Just cause she love you, you don't own her. Don't give you right to kill her. And she said, we're having problems, Brian. And, we're not making it out, and I just want the relationship to end. I'm the hit boy with staff cracker pop. I own you. I control you. I kill you. It's certainly about to look like what he did. Mm-hmm. Crazy, brother.
Yeah, man. That's a crazy mentality because there's so many women on the planet that are looking for, quote-unquote, a good man. And when relationships are over, they're over. If you're not compatible, you're not compatible.
If a man or woman can't control their anger, first and foremost in a relationship, that's a red flag right there. There's really no need to proceed any further. If a man or woman cannot control their anger, and they're out there hitting walls, kicking chairs, sooner or later they're going to be hitting you in the mouth and kicking you in the ankle. Okay? I mean, come on, bro. I'm going to just stop right there. But it's true, Cartrell and fellow students. Well, Cartrell and fellow students, Cartrell is done with his commentary. I say, man, I'm going to move right on into our studies. All right?
Yes, sir. No doubt.
Thank you, Cartrell. May the Most High bless us. and it's in these studies.
Okay.
Chapter 12 of Nehemiah.
Okay, everybody,
please get there. Chapter 12 of Nehemiah. Okay. These are the priests, the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jashub, Shariah, Jeremiah, Ezra, you know, we know them, Amariah, Moluch, Hattush, Shekaniah, Rehum, Meremoth, Edu, Ginnathoth, Abijah, Jamin, Madiah, Bekga, Shemaiah, Joarib, Jediah, Saruf, Amok, Elkiah, Jedediah. These are the princes of the hereditary houses, because there's only, of the priests and their brothers in the time of Yahshua. The Levites, Yahshua, Binu, Kelnil, Sherebiah, Jehuda, Manthiah, were in charge of Thanksgiving songs. Not November in this country, Thanksgiving songs. Thanksgiving, don't get it twisted. Thanksgiving to Yah for everything and anything at all times. He and his brothers, Bukkiah, Uni, and their brothers served opposite them by shifts. They rotated and served opposite of one another by shifts. Yahshua begat Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim begat Elishabah. Elishabah got Jehoiada. Jehoiada begat Jonathan. Jonathan begat Jodu. In the time of Jehoiakim, the head prince of the priestly clans, were Meraiah, Shariah, Hananiah, and Jeremiah of that ancestral house, and Shariah of that ancestral house. Mesulam of the Ezra ancestral house. Johanna of the Amir ancestral house. Jonathan of the Melku ancestral house. Joseph of the Shebana ancestral house. Anna of the Harim ancestral house. Helkiah of the Marioth ancestral house. Zechariah of the Edu ancestral house. Mesulam of the Ginnitot ancestral house. Zikrit of the Abijah ancestral house. And the reason why I'm saying ancestral houses, because we knew there was three Levitical tribes. So these are not the Levitical tribes. They are of the Levitical tribes, but they are ancestral houses within those tribes. In a Menamin ancestral house, Peltiah, you would have to, how you would come to that? First, you would have to know the common denominator. And we know the common denominator with three tribes, Levite tribes. So we have the common number at play because we know there was three Levite tribes. So that's how you would conclude and come to infer, suggest, and imply that these were talking about ancestral houses within those three tribes. The guy used to say, what did he say? Elementary, my dear Watson, elementary. Moadiah tribe, Shemaiah of the Baga tribe, ancestral house, Jehonathan of the Shemaiah ancestral house, Manathiah of the Joarib ancestral house, Uzi of the Jehodiah ancestral house, Caleb of the Solud ancestral house, Ebner of the Amuk ancestral house, Hashabiah of the Hilkiah ancestral house, Nathan of the Zeodiah ancestral house. The Levites and the priests were listed by the heads of their ancestral house of Elizabeth, Joadiah, Johanan, Jodua, down to the reigns of Darius the Persian. But the Levite heads of the ancestral house were listed in the books of the Chronicle to the time of Johanan, son of Elizabeth. The heads of the Levites, Hashishabah, Sherebiah, Jeshua, son of Kilamil, and their brothers served opposite them, singing and praising, thanksgiving hymns by the ordinance of King Dawud, the man of Yah, served opposite them in staggering shifts. Mataniah, Malbukiah, Obadiah, Mesulam, Talman, Akub, guarding as gatekeepers by shifts at the vestibules of the gates. These were in the time of Joachim, son of Jeshua, son of Jozada, in the time of Nehemiah, which we're reading about, the governor, and Ezra, which we have read about, the priest and the scribe. The dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. The Levites, wherever they lived, were sought out, brought to Jerusalem to celebrate a joyful dedication with thanksgiving, with song, accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. The company of singers assembled from the Jordan plain, the environs of the Jerusalem, and from Naphtali villages, from Beth-Hagel-Gah, from the countryside of Gibeah and Asmed. For the singers built themselves villages in the environs, environment around Jerusalem. The priests and Levites purified themselves. Then they purified the people and the gates and the walls. I had the leaders of Yehuda go up on the walls. I appointed two large thanksgiving choirs in procession. One marched south on the wall to the Dung Gate. Behind them were Hoshaya and the half of the leaders of Yehuda, Azariah, Ezra, Mesullam, Jehuda, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the young priests with trumpets. Zechariah, son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mataniah, son of Maacah, son of Zakur, son of Asa, and his brothers, Shemaiah, Azariah, Melaliah, Galaliah, Melah, Nathaniel, Jehuda, Hanani, with the musicians of King David, the son of Yah, the man of Yah. Ezra, the scribe, ran ahead of them from there to the fountain gate, where they ascended the slopes of the city of King David directly below them. By the ascent of the wall above the house of King David and onward to the water gate on the east, the other Thanksgiving choir marched on the wall in the opposite direction with me, Nehemiah. And for the people behind it, above the, they had two competing choirs praising Yah. Now, I wouldn't really wouldn't say competing. They would say have two opposite choirs trying to give the best praise they possibly can to the Most High. Above the Tower of Ovens to the broad wall. Above the gates of Euphraim, Yesahana, to the sheep gate, and he halted at the gate of the prison compound yard. Both choirs halted at the house of Yah. And I, Nathan, Nehemiah, and half of the governors with me, and the priests, Elohim, Meshariah, Menin, Melchiah, Eluhina, Zechariah, Hananiah, with trumpets, Messiah, Shemaiah, Elizur, Uzi, Johanan, Mashijah, Elam, Ezer. Then the singers sound forth with Zerahiah in charge. They had one director of the music in charge. Oh, they had two choirs coming from different directions. They had one man in charge of the music selection and things of that nature. And they were in harmony together. On that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for Yah made their rejoice greatly. The women and children also rejoiced. The rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard from afar. At that time, men were appointed over the chambers that serve as the treasuries for the gifts, the first fruit, the tithes, and to which the portions prescribed by the teachings by the priests and Levites were gathered from the fields of the towns. For the people of Yehuda were grateful to the priests and Levites who were in attendance, who kept the charge of their Elohim and the charge of the purity, as well to the singers, the gatekeepers, serving in accord with the ordinance of King Dawud and King Solomon, his son. For the chiefs of the singers, the prince of the singers, and songs of praise and thanksgiving to Yah already existed in the time of King Dawud and Asaph. And they were expressing themselves then, and they were expressing themselves at that given point in time. They were always there at that time, always there. And in the time of Zerubbabel, in the time of present time of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions of the singers. They took care of the singers, the gatekeepers, and made sacred contributions for the Levites. The Levites made sacred contributions for the Aaronites. Everybody took care of everybody. Seems to be everybody was on synchronized, as we often like to say, Cartier. Cartier, my dear brother and friend. What did you say, my brother and friend?
I said, no question.
Synchronized. Everybody working together. I like that. I wish we'd a whole lot of us work more together than that. We'd be a whole lot better ahead being unified, working together, synchronized, Cartier.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But this is like a revival, and most of the people you read off were singers or musicians.
Right.
So they broke off into two, like you said, choirs, and that's the appropriate word, because King David, King Solomon, established the choir system for service to the worship of the Most High, and he reestablished them to give praise and to sing the psalms that we read every night when we go through our lessons. Same songs we're reading over. They had lyrics and music and trumpets and tambourines and cymbals that they put melodies to. So we're reading them, but they sang them. And I'm sure it was a beautiful thing, to the point where you could hear it outside of the walls of Jerusalem. You know how we sang, huh?
When we belt out a song, we definitely belt out a song.
Yeah, we raised the roof, no doubt. Mm-hmm. So the people's heart was right. It was in synchronicity. And it's unfortunate that we've lost all of that. But you read off a lot of names, brother. And they always loyal and dedicated.
Yeah.
And everybody played their part.
And didn't nobody look like they were trying to usurp anybody's position? Nobody was trying to, hey, you didn't call my name. You didn't put my name in there. And nobody was, man, look here, bro. Humility and synchronization goes a mighty long way with Yah. Okay. I like that.
And we talked about Ezra and Nehemiah dealing with each other. Both men of God, both prophets, and they never bumped heads.
And we never see it. We never see nothing about Jeremiah, Ezra, Nehemiah. We never see nothing about if somebody got issues with somebody. That's petty, man. That's petty, Contra. That's petty, fellow student. That's bigger fish to fry.
And you know what the difference is, Johnson?
Right. What's that, my brother?
We're dealing with the Levites and the priests as opposed to the sons of King David, the king.
Uh-huh.
And the kings that were made up in Joseph, the ten
mm-hmm.
tribes.
Exactly.
So at that time, the kings were leading the people in the wrong direction. Here we see the Levites and the people, the Levites and the priests, leading the nation in the direction
mm-hmm.
that Yah wants the nation to be led in.
Right.
And as a result, you see harmony, peace, happiness, and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, they didn't have a king because their kings were in captivity.
Right.
They didn't come back to rebuild.
Well, it seems like to me they played their part, Katria. And they played it rather well, working together without the king. I mean, that would be ideal to have the king, but they unified with whatever they could unify with and how they could unify with one another, in spite of the king not being present and so on and so forth. So they did the best they could with what they got. And they tried to, they came together, synchronized together, tried to unify together, and try to work together. And sometimes
they got the job done.
Oh yeah, they got it done. So sometimes you can only work with those that want to work with you. And sometimes, you know, it ain't everybody, unfortunately. And so, as you say, you always often allude to the fact, Yom Suf Arif, where was the rest of them? They stayed back. They didn't want to come. They didn't want to be a part of it. But that didn't stop those brothers and sisters wanting to be a part of unification, revival, following the Most High will and direction. It didn't stop them. So, you know, you often say, Cartrell, don't let Israel get you upset. And you're right. You should be. I mean, you should be have a certain amount of anxiousness for them. But, you know, we often say on this show sometime, Cartrell, we can lead a horse to the water, but we can't make it drink. And so we just got to do the best we can with what we got. As in that case, they did the best they could with what they had, and they got a job done. And we can do the very same thing. Where we would love the ideal situation to be, but sometimes the ideal situation is not for us to. And don't let your blood pressure get too much up over it. Don't have a stroke over it. Just do the best you can with what you got with who you can. And sometimes that's all you can do. And you still can get a job completed, trying to unify together, trying to revive together, and so on and so forth. Contrary, I often had to caution me on that. And, you know, because I do roar a lot, you know. But so it's good to have friends like him. And because he try to keep you steady, Eddie, you know, try to calm your nerves. Because Israel will, they will get on your last nerves. All right, Contrary.
No, but about it. But I did want to say that you get a glimpse of the future in reading the story about Ezra and Nehemiah, because
right.
only a remnant of them came out of captivity to do what Yah wanted them to do. And the ones
exactly.
that did, they worked in harmonious synchronization with each other. They didn't beef. They didn't argue. They didn't fuss and fight. They didn't shoot each other. They didn't chop each other up. They didn't disrespect each other. They put Yah's word in order in regards to themselves. And as for the rest of the nation that was still in captivity, why don't we see their names in the book? It's because they were still in captivity, enjoying themselves, being oppressed. But these people were stout-hearted. They came back and built the temple and built the walls, and they had every right to celebrate.
Exactly.
It's a lesson for us today that numbers don't rule. Most of the Israelites were in captivity, and their names are not even mentioned. The remnant that came back, almost every one of their names are mentioned. Or the prominent houses of those families I mentioned that had the courage and the boldness to walk in the word of Yah and to follow Yah's
exactly.
lead.
Exactly. Well, good point, Katrina. Very good point. And I'm glad you expounded upon it and you emphasized it. Because sometimes it's just the way it is sometimes.
It ain't all in the numbers.
It's not always about numbers. It's about quality. It's not always about quantity. It's about quality. And we've seen it often in so many occasions, Contrell, in our studies over the years. Sometimes it was about numbers when the numbers were right. But sometimes it wasn't about numbers when the numbers wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. All right, Katra, we have Ima Hadora and Ima Sister Yehuda gracing our presence tonight.
What a pleasant surprise.
Yes, them sisters will throw us a loop every now and then. I'm going to bring the youngster on, Ima Yehuda. May the Most High bless you.
Even though she is our elder. Shalom.
Oh, yes, she is. But she's our elder. But Sister Huda, check this out, Sister Huda. Check this out.
Yes, sir.
Guess how old the Most High would I'm going to be tomorrow. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh.
How you like them apples?
You done caught up.
Yeah. How you like them apples?
I like them very well.
Thank you very much, sisters. Good to have you.
A senior citizen, brother.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That happy birthday. That is so funny. It's a blessing to live, period.
Yes, ma'am.
Sense of common sense, you know.
Right.
Because I know when Ima come on, and you can call me sister because
okay.
I am your sister. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay.
So you know I'm not into titles. Ima to me is Ima, just wise woman, a wise woman.
Right.
And she's going to have
a
lot
of and she certainly is. She certainly is that. And you know, if you ever meet her in person, she just have an aura around her that you gravitate toward her. Just like when I first met her in Memphis, I think it was 2014. And she had that grace. I think Cottrell can attest to this fact. She's had that grace, and she had that. You know what I mean? She had that factor. So yeah,
we read about that helped them brothers build that wall and had a sword on her side.
Yeah, she probably didn't lift up. She probably didn't lip up too much, but she probably was hollering at me. Yo, I'm Sue. What you put the print right there for? That's a yes, man.
Watch out. You ain't looking out because the enemy is coming. I got to take out my sword.
But let me bring her on then. Ima Hadora. May the Most High bless you, love. We love you. You know we just picked
you. Ima, shalom.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Most High. Sorry, it's so broken to be praised. I missed that number. What was that number that you're going to be so proud of tomorrow?
65.
Hey,
Ima like that fool on TV. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I've been blessed with many more years, my brother. May he bless you mightily. Hallelujah.
Praise you. Thank you, Ima. Thank you very much.
He's a baby.
See,
she's a little late to the party.
Yeah, she just said, I'm a baby elder. You see, I knew she was going to get that.
You know, I like
the teacher. Well, you know, I love you.
I have a question on study tonight. Moray, you were saying that with what was done there in the few numbers, it doesn't take a whole lot. My question is, the difference that time is that only Yah was only speaking to a segment of Israel because the northern tribes weren't even there at that time. There was only the southern tribes. But this time around, Yah is speaking to the whole nation, all of us, wherever we've been scattered. And the difference again is we don't know what tribe we came from. We just all discombobulated. We don't know nothing except that we just now coming into the understanding that we're Israel. And even with that understanding, that's all off the chain, too, because some's coming into the understanding that we're Israel through the C seed, and others are coming to the understanding that we are Israel through religion. So even that's all off the chain. How do you foresee this time around?
The Most High bringing salvation to all of Israel. I'm going to gather you from the north and from the south, from the west, and from all the places that I scattered you. How he does it, nobody really knows, Ima. But, you know, y'all got the power to do it because nothing's impossible for him.
Oh,
so,
well, he didn't have no problem scattering the nation, did he?
Exactly. So the Most High is coming with his host.
He went so far as to say he was going to seek us out from behind every crevice, from behind every rock. It was no place to hide.
And I tell you about the shout that he's coming with, because he's coming with the shout. He spoke to us the first 10 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if he had spoke all 613. He only spoke the first 10.
You know, that's another knife in the antique book, because they said a voice spoke to him from the cloud. Well, then Yah spoke to Israel. They said, "Let us not hear him speak again, because we shall surely die." And Yah said, "Well, did they speak?"
So he's not speaking this time. He's shouting. It's all right when your father talks to you. It's good when your father talks to you and gives you that lecture and puts fear in you. But when your father come in the house shouting, you know you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody going to feel it. How are we going to be gathered? Most I said they're going to be throwing their idols in the street along with their silver and their gold on that day that he appears.
Well,
when y'all appears, yes.
Because after the show, I really have something very, very, very important that I would like to be told us about. So if you guys could give me a call, it really would be helpful.
You can come through too clear.
I said, if you guys would be so kind as to give me a call after the program, I don't want to discuss it on the air.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I really need, it's very important. I really need to speak to you guys.
Oh,
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
No problem.
And, John Sue, get your sword ready, because it's the one you just went out through reading about, because it's going to be needed.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
You
all
too,
right.
Mo. Everybody.
Yeah, sharpen them. Sharpen them sword.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And
no problem, Ima. We'll give you a call.
We don't really need it. We got an issue.
Okay. We'll give you a call, Ima.
But I will say, excuse me, I will say, yes, I will. I will say this. I caught the tail end, but it appears, we know Israel can be a partner. Just like our children, our family members, but we love them.
Right.
I may be a fuss bucket sometimes, but even ones that disagree, if they're in need, I'm going to help them.
Right.
Not very many people do that, because we pick and choose. I'm not going to pick and choose. And the ones that are argumentative, like today it was a good feeling, or a thought, to see a young lady say, "I'm not debating anymore. I think I'm learning. I'm just going to put it out there and keep it moving. No
right.
more debate." And that's why. We need to stop debating.
Right.
We in this together. We must take what's serious, laugh when we're supposed to laugh. And like what Patriot was saying, how we all get along. If something we don't like or disagree, we talk about it. But we don't walk away angry.
No.
So, with that being said, the ones that want to debate, I made a decision, and I asked, and I meditated on this, to walk away. I'll communicate, but that don't mean I'll walk, just turn my back and don't be bothered. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'll communicate, but let that person know, him or her, I'm not going to debate with.
Right.
Let's talk about something we can agree on. Let's have a good discussion. Let's reason together. How about that? Because we're not seeing the importance, regardless if it's political or purposely done, which in most cases, with our shelves at the grocery store starting to deplete. They can't really get into their holidays. And just today, again, and I keep saying it, fires are still raging, and I was surprised they did more commentary on it today than they have in a long time. And it has not ceased. Now, can anybody tell me what that is? Hasn't it been a year? And they say people are leaving in droves. What, and the homeless has skyrocketed to 80%. So we're talking about California. Now they're talking about the Andrea's fault. That they're looking at that now, thinking pretty soon it's going to be another earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So we ain't got time to debate. Right, Dr. Hill?
Hey, if you debate, you're not really awake.
No, because Israel quote the Shemaya prayer. They have no understanding of what that prayer is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Yahuwah, our God, is one. It's not about no two different understandings or two different opinions or whatever. It's all about Yah. There is nothing to debate. We have yet to come to that understanding. The Almighty says, don't add to his word nor take away from it. When Ezra and the Kimiyahu got ready to bring those people up out of Babylon, they stood and read the law to them all that day, right?
Yep.
Well, more than one
they
day.
They read the word.
Yep.
It was way more than one day.
Well, I'm saying in the beginning, initially, they began by reading the law, reacquainting the people with the word of their God.
Both yeah. beyond right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which means they wasn't doing it in Babylon, was it?
Well, nope.
But they didn't go to them with two different opinions.
Nope.
Two different trains of thoughts. They went to them with the word of Yah. And if we just take hold to the instructions that the Almighty gave, don't add to his word. Don't take away from it. When we go to his word and as it is written, it doesn't require our belief. It doesn't require our interpretation, our opinion, or our personal commentaries or intellectual powers or philosophical views. It doesn't require any of that.
Sure does.
Only thing it requires is our obedience. That's all.
The thing is,
that
in Ezra and Nehemiah's time, they had Levites that understood.
Mm-hmm.
So while Ezra read the word, there were Levites in the midst of the people that were explaining to the people what he was reading so that they could get an understanding because they was all in one accord in understanding what Yah was saying. They didn't have a New Testament. All they had was the words of Moshe, and they had the songs of King David, and they had some of the prophets who were in the midst of them. So they were purely
feeling
Yah's word.
None of the prophets. None of the prophets ever spoke against Torah. They never spoke to you anything other than what the thus saith Yah. And if we had any sense at all, we would know not to debate the word of Yah. We should revere his word much too much for that. We should be thinking how to obey, not to debate. How are you going to debate what's absolute?
Ooh, 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 that's so true. Ooh, ooh.
A And then they have the audacity to tell, well, that's your understanding. Well, if my understanding is, if the word says don't go outside because it's raining, and you really go outside because it's raining, what's that understand?
It's obvious.
Oh, boy.
That's our problem, Emma. We debate.
We
you.
Have
I don't...
yet to humble ourselves. The Almighty gave us the key to getting his attention, which is humility. Humble yourselves. Seek my face. Pray. Seek my face. And turn from your wicked ways. We, I'm telling you, as many times as you and Young Soon and Moray Cottrell have gone through this word, you would think somewhere along the line we'd be getting it. And I love it because when you're going through the word, you're not adding your opinion or your personal commentary. You're saying, this here's the word of Yah. Still those who want to call and contend with you about the word. Huh?
It certainly is. But Katya and I have a policy. Yah can defend himself. So we just spokesperson does say it, Yah. If they want to argue with Yah, by all means, but I'm not going to argue with them. So if they want to argue with Yah, by all means, I'm not going to argue with it. I said what I said, what the Most High said. I'm done with it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time for debate. There's no room for debate. And like you said, you got to debate, take it up with Yah. Israel tried to debate Moshe, and Yah got angry with them. He said, Moses, they're not murmuring at you or Aaron, your brother. They got a beef with me. It's the same thing. They got a beef with Yah. You read the Holy Scripture. If you don't like what's in the Holy Scripture, you should get rid of the Bible that's in your house.
Exactly.
If you're not reading it, and if you're not reading it, you don't understand.
I think a lot of confusion come into play, too, on Ray, whereas they think that the whole bulk of books or scriptures. And they're not. They don't even define themselves. As a matter of fact, if you go and open a new book, it doesn't say anything about scriptures. It says about the gospels according to.
Right. That's true.
And the deception is that it's two books. It's way more than two books. Way more than two books. Moses got five. Jeremiah got like 60-something chapters in his book.
A lot of books.
When people say two books, it's way more than two books. It's actually two thoughts. It's not two books.
I was just
saying,
two different trains of thought, not two books.
That's the only difference. Because the trend of thought in the, what they call Old Testament, the series of books, which I think there's how many? Like 60-something books?
Mm-hmm.
They're all in sync with one another. They basically say the same, talking about the same subject matter, Yah and the children of Israel, and the interaction with Yah's creation and the nations that they're involved with. Whereas the New Testament, none of the writers of the New Testament were commissioned by the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to write anything.
Moray, who are those people? Who is John, Luke, Mary, Paul, and all of them? Who are they?
Whoever they are, Ema, they came 50 years, they say, after Jesus had died. If you writing about me 50 years after I'm dead, there's no validity to it. How are you quoting me 50 years after I'm dead? Would you want somebody quoting you 50 years after you're dead?
The question, how did Jesus speak in red?
he do what?
How do he speak in red? They said wherever he spoke is in red, huh?
Yeah, they don't do that for Yah, do they? Wherever Yah speaks, that should be in red.
No.
Red letter.
Mm-hmm.
So, something about a man that they quoted who didn't write anything for himself. No books of Jesus. The book of Jesus. Let me see it. Where is it? You're saying he's a prophet, but Isaiah's a prophet. He got a book. Jeremiah's a prophet. He got a book. Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Habakkuk. People,
mm-hmm.
prophets that people don't even read. They got books.
Yeah.
The man y'all talking about, y'all quoting him from people that are quoting him 50 years after he died? Something's wrong.
And they don't have no record outside of the New Testament. They didn't have no record of such a death anyway.
And the thing is, it's out there. They said that the Roman Empire developed the JC. And there was no such person. That's interesting. Also, going back to the African and Israel and Arabs and archaeologists, they're just now giving it to the public, but they're finding skeletal bones that they know for a fact through their testing is of African descent in Asia. Especially all through Asia, parts of Europe, which we already know, parts of this land. But they don't want to come out with the findings. It's secretive. So that tells me that the scriptures are true. Because they come out over and over proving these Israel people, and they'll tell you, no, they were of color. That were in Egypt. Outside of the scriptures, they're telling us that this happened. Not that man has to tell us, but I'm saying it's too much information for not to believe it. That's what I'm saying. There's people who never read the scriptures and know who Israel is and know, like I said, those Arabs over there, when I talk to one that's over here running a store, he said no. The Israelites that are there in this that country are not Israel. Israel is scattered, and they're people of color. So what I'm saying is to say we need to know our history and stop debating about this. There's too much information for us to debate. We need to share.
Absolutely. And if we don't know our history, they say we're doomed to repeat it. A lot of people don't
mm-hmm.
know. Our history is tied in with Iran, Turkey,
mm-hmm.
Pakistan, India. Our history is tied in with those nations, which is why the Western forces went into those nations like Iran and Iraq. And what did they do? They destroyed
The libraries.
The libraries and the museums.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Archaeological findings that they didn't want to be publicized because their archaeological figures look too much like us. And, you know, they take pictures and whatnot and put it on the web. You could Google what King Cyrus looked like, King Artaxerxes looked like, and you could see the royal guard of Persia, that they were jet black people with big curly beards, with dreads, and all of that. But they try to hide that.
And they're finding, which they've been knowing, that as they call Negro or African American, they said there's several types of African people of color. And you can't pinpoint and just say this particular group with big nose, big lips are African because you got Africans that may have big lips and a thin nose. That's why I say we scattered and we're mixed with all types of nationalities, indigenous, Mexican, Europe. Even other parts of people living in the continent of Africa. So we need to get with our history that coincide with the scriptures. Let's stop this debate.
Yes, I'm honored to be prejudice towards, quote unquote, Africans. Our ancient father Abraham married a quote unquote Egyptian, Mizraim, right? Joseph married Mizraim. I'm sure that when he brought his brothers into Mizraim, they took Egyptian wives. Moses married an Ethiopian. So there was no prejudice between Shem and Hamitic people. As a matter of fact, they look so similar, you basically couldn't tell the difference. This is why Joseph's brothers didn't know that he wasn't Mizraim. This is why Moses looked like an Egyptian baby and grew up in the courts of Pharaoh. So we've been poisoned in our mind to think that, you know, we are so much different from, quote-unquote, Africans. But there was interaction, intermarriages between both Shem and Ham. And it started with Abraham, our father, because Keturah, I mean, Hagar was what? She was Mizraim, right? Hagar, the Egyptian.
See, we got to get unlearned. I'll just say this right quick if I know Emo want to say something, which I'm quite sure we're aware of, but hopefully maybe someone that's listening can learn something here, that he knew, and we were, and our ancestors were being taught who to marry, who not to marry. So like you just pointed it out. They intermarried with the Egyptians. They all look alike. And it's evident that these people were of dark complexion or melanated. And like Ema says, we're all scattered. We don't even know what tribe. We can have an idea of what tribe we come from. But this is just one of the things in the scriptures can give you some kind of identification. But my point is, we're all over. And I said, if we ever come together, the Most High brings us all together, we'll be shocked to find out who's who. They know.
You know, the thing of it is that when we want you to know that the only thing that Yah is requiring of Israel, and his word is so simple, the simplicity of it is mind-boggling. The only thing Yah told us to do once we got here is to learn how to treat one another, turn from our wickedness, repent, and come before him as his people and tell him we're sorry. That's what y'all told us to do. And that's the thing that, and that's written. What I find interesting is what is not written is what keeps us divided, but those are the things that we invest all our time in.
Mm.
Let me tell you something, Ma. It's a simple command that Yah gives to mankind, his creation, that they can't seem to get. He told Adam and Eve, of all the trees I created, this one tree right here, don't touch it. Did they listen to him? No.
No.
Simple command. Wasn't difficult. How many trees are in the earth that they could have explored and got nutrient or strength from? Yah told them, this one right here, don't mess with it. They mess with it anyway. Simple instruction. Yah told us to humble ourselves. Such a simple instruction. But it's the hardest command, the hardest challenge to our people is for us to humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as it
but
sounds.
But you know what's mind-boggling to me, Moray?
Yes.
This is why, and maybe you and your student and Yehudi can help me with this. All the things that God gave us to do were so simplistic in its natural state. And we say that we can't do that. That's the hardest thing for us to do. But whatever the idols or these new gods ask of us to do, we find a way to do all of that and more.
And then some.
Can you see that example?
Problem.
Elijah the prophet, right? So he's challenging 400 prophets of Baal, and they got this altar that they're making a sacrifice on, and it took them all day, and nothing really happened. So much so, they began cutting themselves and doing all kind of crazy stuff to get this God that they were serving to burn this offering. And Elijah's looking at them like they're fools, right? They went through great lengths mm-hmm. with his God Baal to get this fire to consume their altar offering. Whereas Elijah didn't have to go through all of that. He watched them and taunted them all day. And when it's hit with his turn, he did the simple thing. Matter of fact, he made it even more complex, like pour water on it 7 times. You don't think that the God of heaven is the God of heaven. And Yah licked up his offering, burnt the water, and burnt the stone. Burnt the stone? Turned the stones into lava? So we playing with a force that we shouldn't be playing with, Israel, because we should know our history, shouldn't we?
By now you would think we would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given enough time. And the prophet Daniel said, in the end of days, knowledge would be increased. So you can't tell Yah that you didn't know or somebody didn't try to tell you.
All right. Well, Cartrell, since our lovely sisters are on with us, I think right about time we need to hear some singing or songs.
Oh, I thought you were going to bust out of tune.
No. No. I'm not going to do it.
Come on now.
I'm not going to do it.
Hey, you supposed to sing a song with y'all, man.
One in a million. Prayers of a lifetime.
My eyes show compassion and sing to me a stroke of love. Call you.
I can't do
a little stuff.
You need that.
Eva, I got it, though, dude.
Yeah.
You got it, baby. You got it.
Yeah, you done graduated.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Elder.
Thank you very much, sister.
I guess
thank you very much.
Better with age.
Oh, there you go, Katria. There you go. Go sing that song, brother. Leave me alone.
No talk. So we in 97, right? Psalm 97?
I believe so, Katria. I think you're right.
Let me get there. 97.
97.
This is probably one of the songs that Ezra and Nehemiah were singing.
Uh-huh.
With the Levites, with the instruments and the cymbals. You know how we do.
Oh, yeah. We know how to get down. Yeah. We can sing.
Yeah, so we should give thanks and praise to Yah for the musical talent that he's blessed our nation with. Because that's a national treasure that we have. That most people on planet Earth don't have like we got.
Right.
So we are born to sing praises to Yah like the angels do in the heavens, because the angels sing to Yah all day, every day. They take shifts like we try to duplicate with King David, King Solomon, with Nehemiah, the prophet Ezra, the two prophets, right? So when we sing to Yah, Yah vibes with us. It's a connection, spiritual, and we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for that gift.
Hallelujah.
Even in songs, we see not only is it a musical, spiritual vibe, but there's also wisdom in it. So much wisdom in the songs, always a message in the music. So we give thanks and praise for these songs. They don't give the title of the author, but we give thanks for whoever it was for composing this song.
Mm-hmm.
Yah is king, Yah Malek. Let the earth exult. The many islands rejoice. Dense clouds are around him. Righteousness and justice are the base of his throne. Fire is his vanguard, burning his foes on every side. This don't sound like no punk god to me.
No.
Lightning. Light up the world. The earth is convulsed at the sight. Mountains melt like wax at the presence of Yah. At the presence of Yah of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness and all the people see his glory. All who worship images, who vaunt their idols, are dismayed. All divine beings bow down to him. what divine beings we're talking about. We're talking about the Melokim, the angels, the adversary, bows down to Yah. He needs permission from Yah. Zion, hearing it, rejoices. The towns of Judah exalt. We just read about that. Oh, Ezra and Nehemiah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your judgments, O Yah, you keep your enemy back so that your work can be done. For you, Yah, are supreme over all the earth. You are exalted high above all divine beings. Yah is high above what? Exalted divine beings? Woo-wee! Mm-hmm. We haven't even met them. Some of the prophets have met them. And trust me, they were in awe and fear of them.
Mm-hmm.
These divine high beings, they were in fear and awe of them. So much so, Dan, you couldn't even stand up. And you just said, I got you. You, oh, you who love Yah. How many of us love Yah with all their heart? Don't lie to me. Yah, no, he measures your heart, how much you love him. Oh, I love Yah. You really? Your actions don't say you love Yah. I hear you, but actions don't say you love Yah. You who love Yah, what you supposed to do? Hate evil. So that's a strong word, hate, right?
Oh, exactly.
Israelites are hateful. They are hate. They're a hate group. Yes, yes, we are. You know what we hate? We hate evil. That's what we hate. You love it. We hate it. You love it. We hate it. You promote it. We hate it. You want to destroy it. That's what we hate. Yes, we're a hate group. We hate evil. We love righteousness. How about that? Got hate for y'all. Y'all evil.
You better believe it.
He guards the lives of his loyal ones. Are we loyal to Yah?
Yes. Try to be.
Yep.
You are.
Try to be. Just to say it.
They told me, growing up in Harlem, we wasn't going to reach past 30. And a lot of brothers, guess what? They did not
reach
past 30. They didn't get past 25. A lot of my friends. But me, I'm like, you got me, Yah. I'm with you. All the way from 14 years old. Even though my father was teaching me earlier than that, he showed me the way, and I jumped on that way. Loyal, dedicated, devoted until my last breath. But Yah guards me, saying of them, from the hand, saving them from the hand of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Light is sown for the righteous. Can you, like, fathom that in your head? Right? That phrase? Light is sown for the righteous. So he's using a farmer's analysis for this planting of this seed of light. So if you're righteous, some kind of light is growing in you.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all pick that up?
Mm-hmm.
Not only light, but radiance for the upright. Okay? Oh, you righteous, rejoice in Yah always, and acclaim his holy name. Hallelujah. All day, every day, praise out. Praise be to the Holy
Hallelujah.
One. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song.
Ima, now sister first. Sister, what is your commentary on the song, Sister Huda? That song you just heard, that beautiful song?
Give thanks and remember it. And the way we can do that is the way we walk and the walk that he wants us to do. How we show gratitude. How we feel humble. What's a blessing that we're here. The blessing. And all, you know, and put away those images. I mean, you know, y'all worked with me before I knew myself. I never particularly like carved images. And I'm glad he lifted me. That song says, I'm so glad Yah has lifted me.
Amen. Amen. You, all of us, and that's beautiful what you said, sister. It's very beautiful because we need some lifting.
Yeah.
Well, Ima, what is your commentary?
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of stand with Yehudi on that. And, you know, what we fail to understand is the Almighty is above all the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And God speaks to me in just common sense level. Out of all the gods, and that's what stuck out for me in one of these verses. He's the God of all the gods, verse 9. And, you know, we hear about JC all over the world. We hear about Buddha all over the world. But we don't hear about Yah. How can this be? You see? Oh, but I've got this call. Continue and I'll come back in. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay.
Well, I don't think we're going to be here because we're going to have to give her a call. So we're going to talk to her again. So, okay. Sister Yehuda, are you going to be on that call?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Contrary
and again, let me say this. Let me interrupt you. Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, first of all, how's your mom?
She's doing okay, Mom. You know, she's turning 90 next month. You know, and
wow.
she came out of that COVID-19 thing, and she's
mm-hmm.
she doing well. And I'm very appreciative that you asked. Did you know I lost a sister too then, recently?
Right, because I lost a sister.
Yeah, yeah.
All of us on this line lost a sister.
Some mess ain't a sister.
That's why I'm thankful we're here. Yes.
Exactly.
And you still got your mother?
Yep.
Praise God.
You're doing something right to still have your mother. That's what I'm saying. And she got a sound mind, and if she anything like you, that's why she living.
Well,
she can't
sing. Fall too far from the tree.
That's right.
She can't sing neither.
No.
Don't say that.
You funny.
Got to get praise.
I'm just right. kidding. But, I mean, if she's feisty.
Oh, and stubborn.
She's definitely that.
You better believe it. Sister, what is your closing remarks?
Oh, I'm telling you, just people out there listening, just always say this. I'm going to continue to say it with wisdom. Show your love, no matter what it is, to our people, to people in general, but mainly our people.
Exactly.
And just all I can say is, try to live your life right. There's so many people out here that are doing great. And I'm not talking about economically. They're doing great mentally.
Right.
And you don't let the kind words goes a long way. Because you never know. People are depressed, down and out. Like I said, the homeless situation all over the United States has blown out of proportion. Not blown up. Seriously. And we need to take life seriously with the laughter. We need to understand that life is precious. He gave us life. And we'd rather die.
Mm.
And we'd rather die by the fact that we argue with one another. When we're driving, we lose patience. We have to stop those people. Something's got to give. And I pray to the Most High, the ones that are doing what they're supposed to do, that he covers them. And no harm come to them, as well as my brothers that's on this line.
Thank you very much, sister. Thank you very much. Contrary, my dear brother and friend, what is your closing remarks?
I just want to give thanks to the Holy One of Israel for my sisters, Ima Hadura, Sister Yehudi, and for you, Brother Yamsuf, for the Most High, kept you alive and healthy and well, and Ima too. And I pray that he continues to be with us, because Yah is the King, as we just read. Yah is King. He's supreme over all his creation, point where even divine beings bow down to him. So that song was a warning to us that we need to know who is King and who we should be bowing down to, and Yah alone. And we just hope and pray that our people are picking up the message that we're trying to deliver to Yah's people.
Hallelujah. And Tadriel. Well, Katria, when you get off and you plug in with Ima Hadura, you tap it, call me, and plug me in, okay?
All right.
All right, fellow students, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Ima Yehuda, Ima Hadura, Brother Katria, and thank you, fellow students, for joining with us to learn about Yah's word. And now that you've learned about Yah's word, what are you going to do about it? So we pray that you don't lean to your own understanding, and that we always try to offer you some gifts at the end of the show, some parting gifts. And that is that get your new spirit, which will be humble and contrite and steadfast in the Most High, and the right counterpart, which would be loving the Most High with all of that heart, all of that mind, all of that soul, all of that strength, and your brothers and sisters, whom are your neighbors, as yourself, meaning that you must learn to love yourself and thirst after righteousness. We love you. Thank you, Sister Yehuda. Thank you, Katya. Thank you, Ima Hador. Thank you, fellow students. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, young boy.
Hurry.